squad. Form up.
We've been looking over the images of a video war game. You see the world as it looks to a soldier. You walk through the streets of a bomb-blasted town. And around the corner, you spot an enemy.
Enemy spotted.
Medic! Enemy down!
The game is called America's Army. Millions of people play.
Follow me.
And the developer is the United States military. The game caught the interest of Peter Singer. He wrote in Foreign Policy magazine of the way that real and virtual war have merged.
Once you're physically in the game, it's what they call a first-person shooter.
First-person shooter meaning you're looking at the world through your gun sight.
Enemy spotted.
America's Army started as a military recruiting tool, and parts of the game show what military training is like. Yet Peter Singer says the game's popularity has gone far beyond its original intent.
This game has been one of the top 10 games downloaded off the internet of all games. It's hugely popular, not just in the U.S., but even in places like China. The Chinese government tried to ban it. But more important to that, in terms of the Army really didn't care about its popularity, is did it help with recruiting or not? And one study found that the game had more impact on actual recruits than all other forms of Army advertising combined.
Why do you suppose that this game became a success beyond its value apparently as a recruiting tool?
It's actually a pretty good game. You know, it's got good packages, good graphics, etc., compelling stories. The interesting thing, though, is that this game is just the start of a broader spectrum of something that I call militainment, where the military is drawing from entertainment for its tools. That is everything from tools of recruiting, like in America's Army, to the tools of entertainment in terms of actually using the weapon systems. Many of the controllers for robotic systems on both ground and air, things like the Predator.
The drones that are over Pakistan and Afghanistan, for example.
Exactly, but also things like the PackBot, which is a little tiny ground robot. They're actually modeled after the Xbox and PlayStation controllers. And the reason was the military found is these video game companies had spent tens of millions of dollars designing systems that, you know, fit in your hand perfectly. But more importantly, the training costs had already been taken out because you hand these to an 18-year-old and they automatically know how to use it.
Are these virtual games in some ways more valuable than real-world training because you can build up an intricate and life-threatening situation on the screen that might be hard to duplicate in real life?
It's an interesting question, and it's something that the military is wrestling with right now. The advocates of the game say things like you can build more complexity in than you could in a regular training program out in the field. More importantly, you can run through it again and again and again in a way that you can in real-world training, but of course, there's other aspects that go into real-world training that maybe you do need in there. And one of those that I think is a concern is that the video games often forget about what we call the fog of war. So, for example, there's one package that recaptures what happened in a real-world battle during the invasion of Iraq where a Green Beret team fought off a Iraqi battalion that had tanks and the like. And so in the game, you can do the same thing that the Green Berets did. What the game leaves out, though, is that when the Green Berets called in an airstrike, the airstrike accidentally hit some of their own and also killed some of our Kurdish allies. The unexpected is often hard for us to program in.
There are any number of writers on military affairs who have raised concerns about this sort of thing because you make war antiseptic, you make it virtual, you make it clean for the shooter, but in the end, on the other end, there may well be a dead person.
And that's what some have jokingly called avatar fatigue, that if you mess up, if you lose, so to speak, in the game, you just reboot. You've lost your avatar. Whereas if you lose in reality, you actually have to call your buddy's wife and explain what happened. A bigger concern within the military is what's called the O'Brien effect, taken from an incident where the talk show host Conan O'Brien challenged Serena Williams, the tennis player, to a tennis match. She came out and he handed her a Nintendo Wii and he proceeded to beat her. And the point here was that just because you excel in the video game of something, it doesn't mean that you excel in the real world version of something.
Peter Singer wrote an article in Foreign Policy magazine called Meet the Sims and Shoot Them. Thanks very much.
Thank you.